Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Listen to these words. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing he lacked, you say," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Sometimes this is a scripture we like to stand a little bit of distance from, because it seems to go way overboard in asking for a type of commitment that most people are not willing to give. And then we start making excuses on how we're not included. And I'll just make one of those excuses for us. "I'm not rich. Doesn't apply to me." I hope you realize that according to about 75% of the world, and probably more, we are richer than 75% of the world will ever be. Ever. I still remember on a mission trip to Kenya that between me and another gentleman, we had $500 between us that we had brought for incidentals and different things in the country and buying souvenirs and bringing them back to family and friends. And we asked our guide, who grew up there as a missionary kid, "Sam, what would $500 mean to people in this country?" And he said, "For $500, you can feed a family for a whole year." So according to most of the world, I just want you to know, we are rich. We are rich. But you know what? Now I'm going to surprise you. We're not going to deal with money today. And we're not going to talk about that. Because what I want to talk about is obstacles. Obstacles. What has got such a hold on you that it's an obstacle from you growing in your relationship with God? You see, this man knows following all of God's commandments is not enough. I hope you can see that. He comes to Jesus and falls down in front of Jesus and asks Jesus, "Can you please tell me what else I must do to have eternal life? Can you please tell me?" And Jesus says what? He goes through some of the commandments and he says, "These are the commandments that you need to follow." And the man says, "I have already done that." Now, if he realizes that he's already done that, why is he asking, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Because he realizes there's something more than just following all the rules and regulations. Would you not agree from what Jesus taught? There's something more than just following all the rules and regulations. Because if that's all it was, then I can spend each day with a checklist going, check, got that one done. Check, didn't do that one because I wasn't supposed to. Check, got that one done. Can't I do that? And every day go down a list and say, but yet this man realizes there's something more. There is something more. And Jesus very plainly tells him that his riches are holding him back from eternal life. Your riches are holding you back. That's his obstacle. I told you I wasn't going to talk about riches. I'm asking you to think about what's your obstacle. What's holding you back? Can you sit down and go, yep, followed that commandment. Yep, followed that one. I did what God asked me to do here. I didn't do those things that I shouldn't be doing. The spiritual life is not about a checklist. I have managed checklists my whole life. I'm really good about making a checklist out. And I'm really good about making sure I check them off. Yep, got that one done, got that one done, got that one done. And I'm going to tell you, for the most inane things, I'll make up a checklist. It may not be written out, but it's here. And I'm making sure I get each step done. If that's all the religious life is it worth it? If that's all the religious life is just a checklist? Is it worth it? I'm of the opinion that it's not. Because a checklist doesn't get me through tough times. A checklist doesn't help me grow. A checklist and following all of God's commandments doesn't gain me eternal life. Because I venture to say, some of you know a very good person who has followed God's commandments but does not believe in Jesus Christ. It's not going to get them to heaven. It's not, can I do enough good things to outweigh the bad that God accepts me? Jesus told this man, if you want eternal life, Jesus tells him that his riches are holding him back, and he says, Jesus tells him to go, to sell everything, to give to the poor, and then come and follow me. Now, one thing I want to address first. Jesus says, go get this settled and then come back and follow me so that you don't have anything holding you back. Saint Francis of Assisi is one of my favorite saints. One of the three favorite saints that I have in my life and that I have sought to learn as much as I can about from him, from Saint Teresa of Avila and Saint John of the Cross, or the other two. Saint Francis of Assisi was raised in a very rich family in his day. His father was a fabric merchant, and Saint Francis had everything he ever wanted, everything. It was these verses that he heard one day, spoken very personally to himself. He heard God say these words to him. And he went to his father and said, I relinquish everything. In such a way that as he stood before his father in the public, he even took off his clothes and walked away and said, anything that I have gotten from you, I don't want. And he walked away and started the Franciscan order. Franciscans are itinerant. They move from place to place. Franciscans take a vow of poverty. Many of you know Saint Francis, whether you realize it or not. People love to put pictures and statues, especially of Saint Francis, standing in their flower beds and their gardens with his hands out like this and oftentimes birds in his hands. You ever seen those when you go places? That's Saint Francis. And he holds the birds out. He actually found a church that was falling down, that had total disrepair, wasn't being used anymore, and he opened that church back up for the animals. And he's known for preaching to the animals. I know, some of you go, oops, crazy man. He is incredible. The wisdom that he learned from God and what he taught other people, I've studied for years. He wrote a hymn that I really, really love. It's one of my favorite hymns. You see, Saint Francis heard these words, go and sell everything, give to the poor, and then come and follow me. What I'm asking you to think about is, what's the obstacle that you have? What's holding you back from growing spiritually? I told you, being able to do a checklist and check things off, that's not going to get you into heaven. Donating more money than anybody else is not going to get you in heaven. There is only one thing that Jesus comes back to time and time again, accepting what Jesus Christ did for us by dying on the cross for our sins and accepting the life that he offers and walking with him in that life. That's the only thing that gets you to heaven. That is the only thing. There is nothing else. I've described to you, as we've been talking about unanswered prayer in the class downstairs on Wednesday night, I've described to you, I've got unanswered prayers that God has never answered. I've described to you that there are bad things that have happened in my life. I hope I've described to you well enough that I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you do. They did not teach me in seminary how to stand my pants up in the corner and jump into them. That might be a sight to see, by the way. I might be willing to try it. But what has gotten me through all the ups and especially the downs in my life? I told you, I have problems with depression. I have problems with anxiety attacks. What's gotten me through all those things? It's nothing to do with following all the commandments. It's nothing to do with having a checklist and saying, I done did that. It's nothing to do with giving. It's everything to do with a relationship with a living, loving God. I wouldn't make it without that. I'm willing to quote what Bob Sorge said in the first video we watched in the Unanswered Prayer series. Bob Sorge said, if it had not been for my relationship with God, I would now be a casualty. I would have been. They hung up on me at work and told me if I didn't go get some help, I didn't have a job. I about drove my wife crazy at one point in time and my kids because of my mental problems. What got me through? My relationship with Jesus Christ. My everyday that, I'll be honest to you, in my prayer life, it's not really often I say amen. And I'm going to tell you why. We often think that amen's the formal end of a prayer. Done. My prayer never ends. I'm constantly praying. God, I need your help right now. I need you to pick me up right now. Sometimes I get so overwhelmed that I've got nothing to say. And I just sit in front of God and just say, I need you. It's not following commandments. It's not giving more than anybody else. It's about identifying what are the obstacles that keep you from growing in a relationship with a living and a loving God. And Jesus identified that obstacle for this man and said, he told him, solve it and then you will have eternal life. What is your obstacle? Everybody has obstacles that keeps them from growing spiritually. If you gave me about 6 hours, are you willing to stay that long today? I'm not talking about later schedule. Now, you're willing to give me 6 hours? I think I can give you a bunch of examples of obstacles that people have told me through the years. But I'm willing to say you have already heard God talk to you about what your obstacle is that's keeping you from growing in a relationship with God. Once you identify that obstacle, Jesus is going to ask you to do the same thing that he asked this man to do with his riches. Identify your obstacle, let go of it, and follow Jesus on a deeper journey. Jesus is going to ask you to do the same thing. So I'm asking you to think about what's your obstacle. What is it that keeps standing in the way? Is it other people's expectations? As a pastor, people love to tell me about what I should be doing as pastor. Is somebody telling you how you should live your life and you feel obligated to follow what they're saying? I'm asking you to think about what's God calling you to do? What God is calling you to do? I've been thinking already about this Moses testimony that I'm going to give on Sunday. When Keith asked me to do it, I told him. I said, by the way, I'm not doing anybody young in the Bible. Because I got a full beard right now and I'm not willing to cut it off. And he said, oh, kind of like Moses then. I had already thought about Moses. I did not tell Keith that. And as soon as he said it, I was like, you know what? Now I know what I got to do. Because I didn't tell him and he said it. And I was already thinking it. It's not that Keith told me what to do. I'm listening to what God says. And that was a confirmation. But is your obstacle somebody, whether it's family or friend, is telling you how to live your life and what choices you should make instead of asking God how God wants you to live? Is your obstacle work? I got so much work going on, I can't let it go. Is that an obstacle? Is it family? Is it another organization? I've gotten so involved in 6 other organizations, Pastor, I don't have time to be involved at church. Where I would like to say, so you're putting your relationship with God on a back burner? Now, I do know some people that are involved in 6 other organizations, and their relationship with God is not on the back burner. Don't get me wrong in what I'm saying, okay? I'm just asking you to think about possibilities of what your obstacles are. Pastor, as soon as I get my life straight and as soon as I get my bills paid, then I'm going to work on my relationship with God. Is that your obstacle? I know of one lady that her obstacle was her child. Her adult child. She would drive 1.5 hours both ways, every weekend, to wash clothes for her child, who has 2 children and a husband. And she said, if I don't do that, they'll never have clean clothes. I said, if you keep doing that, she'll never learn how to clean clothes. And when you die, who's going to clean her clothes? What's your obstacle? Maybe your obstacle is just a feeling, an emotion. Take some time to think about this. What is your obstacle that keeps you from following Jesus more deeply? What is your obstacle? Because I'm willing to say every one of us in this room has one. Every one of us has one. I'm asking you to spend some time in prayer about it. Come to Jesus and tell Jesus, help me deal with it. Help me to set aside what I need to set aside. I've told you my goal. My goal is I want to know God so well that when I get to heaven, there's no surprises. Yeah, I know. I can't do that. It's impossible. You'll never do that. Still my goal. There's going to be a surprise when I get there. I know it. But why would I not want to get to know God better now? Why would I not want to do that? Why would I not want to try to minimize surprises? I don't know, maybe you're a person that likes surprises. I'm one of those, I told you already, I'm one of those plan freaks. Got to plan it all out in my head. I just want to get to know God so well that I can walk the path that God has for me while I'm living here, before I ever get there. I want to know God deeply and intimately. I want to get rid of every obstacle there is. Let's pray. Lord, we all have obstacles. Whether we're willing to admit it or not, we've got them. Help us to see them. And if it's like a brick wall in our way, help us to disassemble it one brick at a time. Help us to see the way around it, over it, under it, and maybe even through it. Lord, this scripture says all things are possible with you. This man's obstacle was his riches. And maybe we can say that about ourselves. But maybe there's something else that's even more important for us to deal with and to disassemble, to take apart, to move past, to go over, that we might have the joy and the excitement of living a relationship with you that is deep and powerful and loving and wonderful every moment of the day, in spite of whether we're on the mountaintop or walking through the deepest shadows of life. Lord, please, don't let us get away without dealing with our obstacles. Continue to bring them to us that we might disassemble them and set them aside. And we know that we'll be able to do that because you are the God of the impossible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.